The rest of that moment seemed to have been wasted into silence. I could have said something more, but I wanted to take in what I heard come out of Katie's mouth. Was Chris cheating on me? Already? Man, this kid moves fast. First the hotel room thing, and now he's probably cheating on me? The rest of my day felt numb. I had only one more class before I can go, but it felt like forever. As I slowly walked out of the home ed hallway, where I also had sewing class in the same room as parenting, I couldn't wait to get out of school. I tried my best to dart through the senior hallway, but didn't want to burden anyone, so I tried to refrain from pushing. Hey, girl! It was Marisol, or Red, whatever her name was. She was wearing a red tank top tucked into faded, ripped-at-the-cuff, high-waisted capris with a black and gold belt to pull the look together. Her white smile surrounded by red lips, as she was in that Trent kid's arm. Trent did a slight wave and mouthed the words, "Hi," to me, as they kept walking past me. Marisol shouted over her shoulder, as I don't know why, but somehow I started walking backwards. "I've been busy lately. Sorry I haven't talked in a while. We'll catch up soon." Then she was gone, disappeared into the clusters and clusters of students as I turned to walk frontwards and took a breath. That night, I was pacing my bedroom floor with my phone to my ear as the dial tone sounded longer just to piss me off. I wanted to get to the bottom of whether Chris was cheating on me or not. The dial tone stopped mid-ring, and Chris had picked up. "Mallory?" He sounded okay. "Relaxed? Tired? Normal?" "Hi, Chris," I began as my heart started rapidly beating and my throat dried up. "Can I talk to you about something?" Here it comes. "Are you cheating on me?" Chris was silent, and I heard an exhale. "Katie, right?" "That's not an answer. Is it? I'm so lost." "Katie thinks she's with me, because I gave her some flirtatious compliments earlier this year," he explains. "It was at the football game when I bought a couple of refreshments from some friends." Well, now I know who was the senior who brought the beer to the game that night. "Okay, good," was I could only say. Then Chris began in a deep, flirtatious voice, changing the subject.
"So, what are you wearing?"
"What?" I was surprised to hear Chris ask a question that abrupt in a moment like that. I giggled a short giggle. "Are you drunk?" There was a silence.
"A little," Chris said.
I rolled my eyes and let out a laugh. Then I heard Chris laugh, then we trailed into our short, awkward silence. Until Chris broke it once again.
"I love you, Kitty." "You sure love moving fast, huh?
Also, Kitty? You're such a dork." I smiled like he can see me. I love you too, Chrissy?" I heard him laugh.
"I've been fantasizing about our future together, Mal."
Chris was at the peak of winning me back over from the thing with Katie earlier. Then he continued talking.
"Picture this, baby doll. We live in a house on the hill. I just took over my dad's business and can't wait to come home to tell you."
I got excited and didn't realize I interrupted Chris. "Oh my god, and I can't wait to come home and tell you about my day." Chris stopped talking. Then came out a just realization sigh.
"Oh, you mean from the grocery store? A good wife needs to make a good dinner, right?"
"A good wife needs to make a good dinner." "Hey," I said to him, hoping he can change his words just a little bit. "You're saying I can't work because I'm your wife?" I playfully fished for his response. But all he said was,
"Women don't work, especially the pretty ones."
He stretched that one so far into my face, I ate it right up. I am a girl. If a boy compliments me, I stupidly eat it up. My head was in the clouds again. The bubble Chris had built for us had locked Katie's remark from earlier to make it seem like forever ago. I was delirious and envisioned myself cooking for our perfect family. To be honest, I felt a burning sensation in my heart.
Why am I not as excited as our future together? Why do I feel scared that I'm not a good girlfriend? Maybe I can listen better, or I can worry about him more when he's sick or something. I could... This boy is running me ragged.
Chapter 7, Just Too Much.
Just picture it, babe. Mrs. Mallory Auriet.
Chris had me in his arm as we walked through the hall. Both arms were holding my books, resting on my stomach as he had me in one arm, fingers pressing deep into my bicep. And his other arm was presenting what was ahead of us, which was just more hallway to me. But he wanted me to picture myself as his little wife, which I thought was sweet. Then I whipped around in front of him, walking backwards, but this time the books were still in my stomach, but holding one of Chris's hands as I tried to give him some reasonable expectations as I said, "Let's get past prom first, honey." We held hands, walking toward the corridor leading to the stairs. I then spotted Freddy. He was wearing his blue and white striped sweatshirt and faded gray jeans. His hair was shorter. Maybe the layering was a bit choppy? As he waved his hand low, I noticed a band-aid on his nose. "What's with the band-aid? Got a nose job or something?" I laughed.
"No,"
Freddy silently snapped. I jumped a little by surprise. Freddy then laughed at me jumping and went to hug me.
Honey? What's going on here?"
Chris had asked from behind me as I looked back at him, loosening myself from Freddy's arms. Before I could answer, Freddy did for me.
"I'm giving her a hug."
I smiled and giggled nervously as I looked back at Chris. "Come on, babe." The bell sounded as we continued holding hands down the stairs into the cafeteria. Later that night, Chris had texted me message after message, claiming there has to be rules for our relationship. Chris.
Number one, you can't be friends with other guys.
Me. Seriously? Is it going to be the same for you? Chris.
What do you mean?
Me. I see your Facebook. You're out partying with Juanita? Chris.
She's just...
Me. Rosalinda? Chris.
Oh, we're actually...
Me. Isabella, Carmela, Anna... Chris.
I'm helping Carmela with some things. She needs some financial help with her maternity leave from her part-time job at Starbucks. Calm down, Mal.
Me. What about Katie? You said you guys were over, and one of your rules states that we can't be friends with other people, apparently. Chris.
It's a trust thing. We just started dating, and how do I know you're not going to run off with Freddy? I don't trust him.
Me. It's nothing like that. We've been friends for 2.5 years. Chris.
I'm only doing what's best for us, honey. I'm getting rid of the toxic people in your life.
Me. So, do you think Macy's toxic? Chris.
No, look, Katie.
Me. Do you think the theater kids I hang out with are toxic? What about my innocent 10-year-old cousin Gianna? Is she toxic? Chris.
Babe!
Me. What? Chris.
Please. Look, forget the rules, alright? I'll try to adjust to make you happy, okay? Mal? Mallory! Are you there?
Me. I was just helping my mom with dinner.
Sorry.
Me. It's okay, hun. Look, I gotta help my mom with the rest of dinner. I'll talk to you later. Chris.
Okay, hun. I love you.
Me. I love you too. The smell of fresh basil being chopped by my mom's steel kitchen knife was vaporizing into the steam from the angel hair pasta melting into the bubbling water. I was slicing bread as I had the taste of it dipped in marinara sauce on my taste buds. My mom inhaled and spoke as she exhaled.
"Are you happy with Chris?" The question made me confused as to why she asked.
Yes? It's a little weird for me since I've never had a boyfriend. Mom fell silent.
"You just haven't been yourself. You haven't worn your sparkly eyeshadow. You always go to wear black every day. All of a sudden,
Mom abruptly slammed the knife on its side on the counter and faced me with an exhaling stare.
"You are talking about not going to trade school? What? To be a little servant to Chris? He's bringing you down, baby. You're not the happy little girl I once knew. The light in your eyes isn't as vibrant and determined as they were. Chris is controlling you. He's threatened to kill himself. You just ran to your phone for fear he would.
"What are you saying?" was all I could ask. I lowered my chin and felt my eyes get big, but my eyebrows stitched together. Mom sighed.
"Mallory, it's almost starting to sound like it's an abusive relationship."
Chapter 8, The Smell of Defeat. The day felt cold, crisp, but I didn't feel happy. I felt like I wanted the end of the year to be near. I'm just stuck. Stuck in the middle of Katie's feelings, Chris's weirdness, and my mom's assumption of him being abusive. Chris doesn't hit me, but I do see his obsessiveness and passive aggression. Freddy's been weird lately too, especially every time he sees me with Chris, but it all started to show after one day. Chris had pulled me into the library. It was quiet, not typical library quiet, the type of quiet that gave you anxiety whether you were used to noise or not. This kind of quietness was weird, and so was Chris. He didn't look confident and determined striding through the halls in some expensive wear like he did every day. He looked scared, something different in his big brown eyes that's causing their attraction to change as his grip on my arm tightened as we both quickly dashed into a dark corner of really old encyclopedias from 1958.
"You're scaring me," I whispered in exclamation as I looked for an answer in Chris's face. I couldn't. This look of fear, his was new. He didn't just look scared, he looked defeated.
"Kitty," he began, "I'm going through something. I have this secret that can severely ruin my life."
"Severely?" I asked. "How bad can it be?"
"You don't want to know. If it gets out, my whole family would be ashamed. I will be snubbed at the college my family donated to for generations? A disgrace to my whole family?"
Chris seemed to be genuinely worried about this secret he had. A disgrace to his family? How bad could it be?
"Chris, are you gay?"
I popped out the only reasonable guess of what his life-ruining secret could be. Chris's head popped up and his eyes widened in confusion.
"What? No, I'm not gay."
My eyes narrowed.
"What can this secret be?"
"You're a Russian spy," I blurted. Chris narrowed his eyes at me and took a short breath.
"No," he almost shouted.
"Chris," I shouted, and it looked like he cowered a bit as he went to cover his ears. "What's this big secret then? If you're not gay, or a spy, or have some secret love child you just figured out you had, then what can be bigger than that?"
Chris was silent,
sitting on the floor with his back against the big wooden wall of autobiographies as he looks in between his legs at the brown tile floor and sighed. I didn't know whether to join him on the floor or comfort him or give him space, but either way, I wanted to know this secret. I studied Chris, but didn't realize I was studying through him and not the fact that he actually bursted into tears. What the fuck was this secret? I helped Chris up as he wobbled a little, and I squeezed him tightly. He sniffed what sounded like the biggest snot on my shoulder, but he was in pain. He felt alone with no one to talk to, and I was his saving grace. His rock, and maybe he was mine. Chris calmed down, his face still on my shoulder.
I was all I heard when he trailed into mumbles on my red cardigan.
What? I said. I couldn't hear you.
I have...
The sentence trailed off again. I felt Chris tremble a bit, but I was fed up at this point, but didn't want to let go or push him away. Chris, I can't hear you, I shouted. Then, with a shocking jolt as he pushed off of me and stepped back as he looked at me, face red and black eyebrows pressed down and lips tightly pursed, Chris had finally blurted it out.
I have a foot fetish!
It was silent between us, and during that time, Chris had looked around to make sure no one heard this life-ruining secret. But wait, life-ruining? Seriously? A foot fetish? Wait, what? Seriously? That's what you were so fucking afraid of? Chris, you made me think you actually killed someone!
I'm sorry, Mallory, but people like me? A freak? People like me are supposed to be donating money to the freaks, inviting them to my parties, and hopefully turn their lives around. Like, for example, your friend Freddy, I could help him not be such a freak. He likes anime, like, a lot. A little too much, actually. We're different. I'm not like him.
I was shocked. Freddy's my friend. I couldn't get the words out. Like I said before, I hate conflict within my circle of friends. And what does him liking anime have to... and him being a freak have to do with you having a foot? Chris covered my mouth, cutting me off.
Shh! Are you crazy?
Chris sighed. Look, I just worked hard all 3 years to build my reputation. I would appreciate it if it weren't ruined by something stupidly weird. I laughed. Everybody has a weird little thing they have. Like, when I was younger, I used to prance around the house with a plastic tiara on my head.
Cute, Chris chuckled. How old were you? 7, 8?
I sighed. 9th grade. Chris looked puzzled, probably weirded out, which I feel like he needed at this point. I had a phase where I promised myself in the summer between 8th and 9th grade, I would have this changed princess image for high school. I was friends with Kirsten, and life was starting to get good. I looked down to the side, pursed lips, and didn't want to say more, but I didn't want to leave Chris hanging. I do regret of some how I acted. I was an asshole to some people.
You? An asshole?
Chris laughed as he questioned me. I exhaled through my nose as I connected an ear-to-ear smile while looking down at the brown tile floor and Chris's shiny Italian loafer. The air between us hung dry, the silent and awkward silence as if we just had sex right in the library. But really, we just discovered something about each other. Our relationship climbing up a painful ladder. But a weight felt released as I looked at the pitter-patter of rain on the glass windows behind the clunky old library computers. I felt numb. Chris nudged my attention back to him. With that same dry, awkward silence, only something was on the verge of changing in a second.
Chris's hand was in my hair, massaging my head as I didn't notice that I pressed my chest on his as I did a goofy closed smile and narrowed my eyes. I got home that afternoon and plopped my stomach on my bed. I opened my Facebook app. It was taking a longer time to load than usual. The progressively loud pitter-patter of the rain reminded me of that reason. Gotta love shitty Wi-Fi. Facebook finally loaded. I wasn't prepared for what I was about to endure. Katie had posted a status. Some people need to stop being a princess for one moment and think about other people for a change. For some reason, I knew it was about me. She was still mad about Chris. There were several comments under it. My stomach felt heavy, like it was holding a burning meteor that hurtled from my throat to my stomach, making me feel the need to throw up, causing me to dry heave a little. But I scrolled through the comments. Preach, girl! I've dealt with those kinds of girls. Very ugly. I know who you're talking about, too. And I can totally agree. I knew who they were talking about. Me. They were talking about me while they hide behind a keyboard and think that just because they don't say my name, I won't figure it out. It's the cold stares I can see at school. They see me walk that hallway, and I see them. They took when me and Freddie had kissed at the beginning of the year, and take the rumors from me and Alan that I thought was resolved, and now I see that I'm with the school socialite, and now the girls are mouthing the words, slut, followed by a condescending grin. Freddie commented. Very well said. I then noticed a private message. It was from Sophia. I gulped and clicked the message icon in the corner of the screen. Sophia. Mallory, Katie's been nothing but nice to you, and you steal her boyfriend? You did her dirty. Now my chest was burning with fear, anger, and most of all, hurt. I thought Sophia was my friend, and she's taking part in this nonsense? Nonsense that didn't even involve her? But yeah, Sophia, you get involved to protect your friends, right? Well, why aren't you protecting me? I'm your friend. Oh, that's right. There's this new thing you like to call selective friends. Or who you choose to defend that day, right, Sophia? Well, the correct term for you is as simple. It's called a fake friend. Without even thinking, I messaged her back. Me. Leave me alone. You're nothing but a fake friend and a bitch. I sent it. My heart was beating too fast. It was scary. Mainly because I've never used that kind of language through text like that before. I thought I was having a heart attack, but I couldn't get out of that chat fast enough and quickly logged off Facebook. Sitting at the edge of my bed, both hands on each side of me while gripping my white duvet cover as tightly as I could. What is going on with my life? I thought. Then my phone buzzed at me. Chris. Mallory, people are starting to look at me funny. You didn't tell me one about that thing we talked about, right? Trying to figure out the best response, I needed to tell somebody of my problem. I was being cyberbullied by my own friends and people who I didn't even know, and Chris was the perfect person to tell. I mean, he was my boyfriend after all. But just when I was about to tap my response, another message popped up. Chris. I mean, Mallory, I don't want this to get in between us, but that secret can actually ruin me. Me. No, I didn't tell anyone. You made me promise.
There was a long pause. You would think that I would take the time to breathe and give my mind a break, but I didn't. Instead, I was anything but relaxed. I felt like the world was against me and no one fucking cared. The saddest part of this was the fact that I didn't know how to explain this to anyone. How I've been feeling lately. I feel like I'm drowning, but no one can see, but I don't want to burden others with my problems. And the worst part is, the only way to explain is the lazy way. That lazy way. How I responded when Kenny Rivera asked if I was okay, and I responded, "I'm fine." Bzzz went my phone. Chris was calling me. I hesitated, but answered. I was a shaking, stuttering mess. Yes? I waited for Chris to throw the ball in my court with a simple, "Hey," but I got an earful of fear.
"Mallory, please," he began. "I need you more than ever, don't you see? People are looking at me like I'm a nun with 5 testicles.
Ew? I didn't know how to respond to that. Chris sighed over the phone. I pictured him sitting on his golden satin bed, still wearing the clothes from today, hunched over and massaging the bridge of his nose with 2 fingers.
"Look, let's forget about it, okay? I just don't want to lose you. You're like the best thing that could ever happen to me, Mal."
I smiled as if he could see me, then realized he couldn't and responded with the, "Me too." There was that long pause again, still feeling on the edge of needing to defend myself.
"Hey, Mallory," Chris began. "I think I know what can help our relationship."
"Which is?" I asked. When a brief pause had taken place, Chris had taken a breath that sounded like he licked his lips prior to what he said next.
"You can send me your feet."
I literally had to comprehend what he just said. Send him my feet? Wait, like, cut my feet off and... Chris stopped my stupidly sounding sentence.
"No! Pictures! At least 3, and could you, like, wear flats in them too?"
My lips pursed together. The burning meteor feeling in my chest and stomach were back to play. Chris just asked me to send pictures of a part of my body that's so controversial in the foot fetish community, because in the regular sexting community, feet are nothing. Just weird. "No," I responded with my final answer. "I'm not going to send you pictures of my feet, Chris. Good night." Chris was silent. I was silent. Which I finally broke when my pulse sweat glued lips ripped open to say again, "Good night."